Good morning, honorable members and colleagues.
Recording in progress.
It's now 9 o'clock, and I'd like to apologize for not having my camera on. We have been load shed since 8 until 10 o'clock. Today we are interacting with the Department of Science and Innovation, and we'll be receiving a briefing by the DSI and the CSIR on the South African Mining Extraction Research Development Innovation Strategy and the Mandela Mining Precinct. I have noted an apology from the minister and the DG. I think DG's apology just came in now. So I've acknowledged an apology from the DG, Dr. Ndwaga, as well as the minister. I don't think we have one from the deputy minister. We know it's a Wednesday, so minister is in cabinet. And I'm responsible for socioeconomic innovation partnerships will lead today's delegation. Colleagues, you would know that when we are interacting with topics or items that would also be of interest to other portfolio committees, we have extended in the past the invite to those committees. However, due to the shift in programs, the parliamentary programs changed. Colleagues know that on Wednesdays, we usually interact with the Department of Higher Education and Training. And on Fridays, we interact with the Department of Science and Innovation. And colleagues would note that our Fridays that are meant for DSI have now been allocated to plenary. I think most of them are virtual plenaries. And though we've so and so we've had to move an item that would have originally been placed on a Friday to a Wednesday, and that has created some mishaps in the communication from the committee secretariat of our committee to the secretariat of mining, sorry, of the Committee on Minerals. And so we want to apologize for the late communication that went out to colleagues from the Committee on Minerals, and want to appreciate those who have been able to join us this morning. I think from my chat or the participants column, I see Honorable Phillips. I see Honorable Jobega Makeke. And those are the colleagues from that committee that I can see at the moment. If there are any colleagues that I've left out, I will afford members an opportunity at this point to indicate that they are also in the meeting. So, any of the colleagues from the Committee on Minerals that I have not noted? Okay. So, I think those are the two members that I will. I have noted. Thank you very much, honorable members, for joining us, and we look forward to your contributions to this morning's engagement. Shanaz, I don't know if I've left out any other apologies. I think Honorable Mananiso was writing something on the chat, if I'm not mistaken. Okay, yeah. Oh, okay. And Honorable Mananiso is also committed to another deployment, I think, from the Multi-Party Women's Caucus. They have been invited to the South African Local Government Association's Women's Commission, Lekgotla, which will sit from 8:30 to 1. However, Honorable Mananiso has indicated that she will try and be here with us as well. Okay, so those are the apologies that we do have. I don't see the deputy minister on the platform. And so I'm not sure, Shanaz, have we received an apology from Honorable Manamela? And I've noted Honorable King's hand. Let me just check from Shanaz if we have an apology from Manamela.
Morning, Chair. No, so we have not received an apology from the Deputy Minister. The only other apology was from Dr. Posoff, who will be joining a bit late from the
Okay.
member side.
All right, thank you. Honorable King.
Please also note the apology from Honorable Gao. She will be boarding a flight soon.
Okay. All right, those apologies are noted, colleagues. With that being said, we look forward to receiving the briefing from the DSI and the CSIR. Led by Dr. Morfe. It's now 6 minutes past nine, and I believe Dr. Morfe, within 40 or so minutes, 45 minutes perhaps, let me give you a bit more time, you would have concluded the presentation. Over to you, Dr. Morfe.
Thanks very much and good morning. I just wanted to check if I'm audible.
Yes, you are. Your network bars are on yellow, on amber, so that's not the best. So maybe we can switch. Yes, there we go. I think that should help us.
Okay, no, thanks very much. Firstly, let me just greet all the honourable members and also to welcome my colleagues who have joined me. I have been joined by Dr. Maserimule from the CSIR, which is where the program is anchored. And then I got the representative from MEMSA, which is Lihlonolo Mloi, which will also present one or two slides in terms of what we have agreed. And then Mr. Bewen Harris and Ms. Candice Coleman, they've joined from the department. Bewen will be leading us on the presentation. We also want to acknowledge Honorable Chairperson and members that these presentations were actually prepared a while back. So due to postponement, you see that some of the slides may not have been updated while some have been. It probably is because the submission was done a way back and we probably should have probably over updated a whole lot of them to make sure that we have the latest. But we will do that as we present each slide where the information is a bit outdated to provide an update in terms of what certain things have transpired since then. So I'm going to, without any waste of time, just by way of introduction, the area of mining is quite a crucial a part of our economy, as we are aware. However, there has been a lot of underperformance over the years. And we do believe that as the Department of Science and Innovation, and obviously working with other government departments and relevant stakeholders, that this is an industry that through technological innovation and research can actually be revitalized. We have seen how, for example, in other countries, while we are declining, they actually have either kept their momentum in the mining sector or they have grown. And our sense is that the revitalization of the sector through technology, which is also part of what we have highlighted in the decadal plan, when we raise the importance of the modernization of certain sectors, one of them being mining, this really is an initiative that build into that particular aspect of the modernization of the mining sector. So I'm going to hand over to Bewen, and after his presentation, if there's anything to add, I will do that. Bewen, you probably have got a sense of the time frames that we're operating with. So the platform is yours.
Thank you very much, Dr. Morfe. And good morning, Chairperson and members of the Portfolio Committee. I would also just like to acknowledge the presence of our colleague from the Minerals Council, Mr. Zietse van der Woude, he's the Senior Executive for Modernization, and then also Mr. Johan Leroux, who is the outgoing Director for the Mandela Mining Precinct. Chairperson, if it is acceptable, I'm going to request to switch off my video and then see if I can just share the screen. If that can may perhaps just enabled for me.
Okay.
It seems that I just have to leave the meeting and re-enter. It's a setting.
So what's the challenge on your side? Shanaz, have we enabled sharing?
Yes, Jay.
So I think he's going to, he's rejoining so that his settings to share can actually be activated, but he's just in and out and then he will start sharing. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. I am back.
So you can proceed and share.
So I just want to get clarity, Dr. Mwafe. You mentioned that the presentation had been prepared a while back, but we received a revised presentation yesterday. So are they more additions than that?
Sorry, I mean there were slides that we didn't really update, but I'll see, we'll clarify where there might have been additions. So the only probably slide that I had decided to look at including, which Buen will probably also flag, is that I realized that one of the critical issues that we always needed to make the committee aware of on is really provide some disaggregated data, especially on demographics. So there's one slide where we have tried that, so that at least the members can have a sense of how, as we talk about the implementation of these things, we are also taking care of some of the principles that we keep building a society that is inclusive.
Okay, can you organize that be sent to Shanaz in the meantime?
We will do that, and apologies, Chairperson.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. So it is the Samadhi strategy, minerals extraction, research, development, and innovation, and the Mandela Mining Precinct. And I think we'll elaborate the two terms as we go, because they're often used interchangeably, but they are slightly different. So in terms of the problem statement, and I'm not sure how to move. How can I just drag this to the bottom? The Samadhi program intervention can be traced back to the mining Pakisa in 2016. Where the mining sector was in a crisis. There was a confluence of deeper structural issues and short-term crises. So at that stage, there was a near constant prices of the commodities and increasing cost and complexities. So it was almost like a table mountain in terms of a flat line of commodity prices and then a curve of increasing costs. if we look at the other, if we unpack the problem, the there was a decline in, still is, of the gross domestic product contribution of mining from 21% to around 8% in 2020. The production decreases. The commodity prices remain more or less constant. That is fluctuating, but it is more or less constant. We acknowledge also the circular economy and a lot of reprocessing of minerals. What we also see is a depletion of easily accessible resources. That's understandable if we think of the age of our mining industry, that we've been mining in some instances for more than 100 years. And then we also acknowledge that it's a labor-intensive industry, but we're now mining deeper and deeper at more complex conditions, and therefore it's more difficult to maintain the safety standards, the safety environment. And that means that a significant proportion of our resources are no longer economically viable using existing technologies. That was one of the main drivers of our intervention, is that we had to take a step change in the technologies to mine. I think we're all familiar of the legacy of the environmental problems from acid mine drain, acid mine drainage, to also carbon emissions, and also the slow transformation in the mining sector. So, in context of all these problems, we realized that we need to respond to that. In this, from the mining Pakisa, that was in those series of Pakisas, the mining Pakisa was one of the interventions, and the re-energizing of the mining cluster was one of the effective interventions in the Pakisa. And then if we also look at the mining value chain, Chairperson, you would be familiar with the Council for Geoscience looking at the mapping of our mineral resource deposits, and then the Council for Minerals Processing, MINTEC, was focused on the minerals processing, but in the middle, there is not a formal minerals a mining research entity. So this initiative around the Mandela Mining Precinct aims to address that gap. So that is then where the Samadhi program was born. Let me just see if I can go to the next slide. The intent of the Samadhi program is then to maximize the sustainable returns of our mineral wealth through collaborative research, development, and innovation, and also implementation being a key word, of the technologies in a socially, environmentally, and sustainable, financially sustainable manner. So there's a twofold aim, is to develop technological solutions and then to revitalize the RDI capability. There was a lot of reference during the Pakisa to the old Chamber of Mines Research Organization, COMRO, as it was commonly known, that was over, I think it had a capacity of around 600 researchers at that stage, was a world leader in deep mining research. So the intent is to research an appropriate capacity of that, and then to develop appropriate solutions linked to our current capability. Obviously aimed at increased productivity, optimized use of our input resources, cost efficiencies, and then increased life of mines. What we see here is obviously, if we think back to COMRO, our context has changed. We're in the domain of the fourth industrial revolution. there's a confluence of new technologies, of real-time information. So we can't just resuscitate the old Chamber of Mines research organization. We need to look at the appropriate technologies, the circular economy, and the emphasis on, for example, environmental aspects. So in terms of re-energizing the RDI capability, we need to have relevant RDI programs, long-term programs, which enables capacity to be built, skills development, and transformation. And what we realize here is that it's not an extension of the old skills. We need new skills. We need cross-skilling. We need no longer just mining engineers. We need engineers or technicians with skills in electronics and mechanical systems, for example, mechatronics. We need operators with skills in operating, for example, equipment through iPads and Xboxes and no longer through just mechanical operation. What also came very strongly at the Mining Pakisa was this, the fact that we can't just have a mining industry and leave a big black hole like in Salt Plaiki. We need a manufacturing sector beyond mining. And if you think back to the Nordic countries like Finland and Sweden, they have big mining equipment manufacturers like Sandvik and various other companies, which gives them a longevity. So we need to also, therefore, build the local mining equipment manufacturers. So that was kind of the importance. That was then the goal that we discussed. So how does that fit into the Mandela Mining Precinct? So if we talk about the Mandela Mining Precinct, it is the public-private partnership between the DSI and the Minerals Council. The Mandela Mining Precinct was established with the approval of the Mandela Foundation to coordinate with the implementation of the Samadhi Strategy. So the Samadhi Strategy, we've just discussed the intent of that. The precinct is the implementation, and that is implements the process of revitalize the capability of the mining strategy, which is at the heart of the strategy. The precinct is co-hosted by the Minerals Council and the CSIR. So the CSIR acts as the implementing entity on behalf of the DSI. So in terms of the operational management, the colleague from the Minerals Council and the CSIR are managing the physical contracts on the research side. The DSI is not involved in that. In terms of the funding is matched by the Minerals Council, which acts on behalf of the private sector at the ratio of 2-to-1. And that gives us a total about 95 million per annum. And we've inquired in the DSI, and this makes it the largest public private funded RDI partnership in the DSI. And that's one of the topics highlighted in the decadal plan and also in the white paper of the DSI. So in the Mandela Mining Precinct, the governance process consists of the Samadhi Steering Committee, and that consists of formal representatives from 6 government departments, for example, National Treasury, DPME, DMRE, Department of Trade, Industry and Competition, and also ourselves, and then also 2 independent representatives, and then obviously representatives from the Minerals Council. If we then go one way down, There's a technical steering committee which guides the technical content, and they consist of the managers or the managers consist of industry representatives. So the difference in this joint public-private partnership is that the content of the RDI program is industry-led. And then there is also, lastly, a Mandela Mining Precinct Exco, and that consists of the CSIR, the DSI, and the Minerals Council, and that is to manage the day-to-day operational aspects of the precinct. So this is just the layout. The aim is to have a proper governance and managed layout to ensure that the SAMADI meets the needs to help ensure the mining industry and the mining equipment sector is managed optimally. If we then talk to the SAMADI vision and mission, obviously, it's shared prosperity through innovation, and that's innovation in the broad sense. The mission is then to maximize the sustainable returns of our mineral wealth through collaborative research, development, and innovation, and implementation of the mining activities. What is interesting to note here is because we do not have a formal science council doing the mining research, this is what we call a hub and spoke research model that we follow. So we have research partners, and what is done in the Mandela Mining Precinct, a problem is defined and well scoped, and then it is put out for seeking to find partners, to find possible solutions. And you'll see later on how that is done. And then we seek solutions in terms of that partners. So often we use the concept of an open innovation approach in this. So in terms of the process, it's to develop technological solutions to increase the safety and productivity, to reduce the cost and extend the life of mines. And you'll see the themes repeating itself, and it's because it's properly integrated. It's not because it's duplicated. And then secondly, to revitalize the research capability and capacity in the country. And then thirdly, to support the capacity of the mining supply chain as the partner in the research of the mining industry. The strategic objectives, and you'll see the themes coming through, the rebuilding and positioning of the extraction and supply chain by building human resources, capabilities, and capacities. And this theme of environmental, social, and governance factors is increasingly being incorporated into the topics as we go forward. So that's how the strategy is being renewed. And then also to ensure that the mineral extraction, supply chain, and RDI networks are sustainable and vibrant. And this is a question we often find ourselves: how do we ensure that we build these networks between academia, science councils, and other technology developers? How do we build the knowledge networks between those, and how do we sustain them? And thirdly, how do we improve the competitiveness of the mining sector and create new opportunities for companies along the complete value chain? How do we exploit the innovation? And that also then talks to the commercialization. And then Lastly, how do we strive towards developing an RDI-focused organization that's built on the premise of a public-private partnership? We do not have a solution for this yet, and because the current formulation of the Mandela Mining Precinct is working very well, we are keeping this in our plan, but this is not currently our top priority. If we then go one level down into the research programs, we have these five research programs. I will not go into too much detail. I think the content have been distributed beforehand. The acronyms are, we get used to them. The LOCM is the longevity of the current mines. So that takes cognition of our current reality. If we take the current mines, some of them very old in terms of technology and low digital content, how do we extend the life of those mines? How do we get the maximum out of them? Then how do we then start mechanized? How do you start then bringing mechanized mining systems into that? How do we then start moving away from these rock breaking systems towards a continuous rock breaking solutions? So get away from the drill and blast systems. The third one is the advanced ore body knowledge, and that ultimately aims at establishing an environment where there's kind of a glass rock, where you're able to, if you envisage glass rock, you can see through the rock ahead, say 1 or 2 meters, and you're able to follow the ore body, whether it's an incline, so you just mine the ore body and not the whole depth, let's say the whole 1.5 meters, but just the depth of the ore body. So your efficiency of extracting the material is very high. The second last one is the real-time information management systems, and that gives you a sense of in real time knowing what is happening underground, what is the progress in terms of the mining, what is the progress in terms of the ore body being brought up, being processed, and that gives you a much better sense in terms of not only the mining operations, but also the stability of the rock face, the safety, the awareness of the people and the equipment. So that's a fairly big topic. It's very relevant, especially if we think of the new technologies aligned to the so-called fourth industrial revolution. The last one is a cross-cutter, and it's very important. It's the application of technology centered around people. In a science or a technology-intensive environment, you can easily be carried away by the technology without kind of looking at the way it impacts on people and the way people behavior are changed by technology, or it changes the way your business is run. So that looks at how we engage with technology. Then there are four strategic initiatives at the Mandela Mining Precinct. The one is a test mine. This is an important initiative because this is crucial for enabling our local equipment manufacturers to validate their test equipment or their mining equipment in a real-time environment. Often they have a new drill or a new bulldozer or a dozer, but they can't test it underground because there's a risk of stopping production and a risk of then losing a safety or losing existing production. So this test mine will enable realistic testing in a realistic environment without breaking or interrupting production. The collision prevention system is, or a collision avoidance system is a project piloted by the CSIR. It's being adopted now. It's really a novel approach where These on the open pit mines, the big trucks are fitted with sensors, and you are then able in real time to see how they are moved and how they are moving, and also recording and do a post-movement analysis to see where typically they exceed traffic signs or velocity restrictions. And then you can optimize your safety around the mine, but also optimize it for people and other vehicle collision systems. So this is quite crucial also in the new mine safety regulations. The mining RDI capacity and capability study is also a project initiated by the Minerals Council, looking at capacity and capability assessment, firstly within the mining cluster. And that is looking at capacity and capability with the intent of seeing if you have a specific problem, what capacity is required and what capability, and how can you cross-scale and cross-adapt capability to respond to a particular problem. This is crucial because it's not always possible to have a whole team of people for a specific problem that might occur infrequently. So especially in our science council environment, you have a small team of people that are multi-skilled, and you have to be able to dynamically adjust to address different problems. So the intent is then in the future to pilot this project on other systems and other science councils. So also on the human capacity development initiatives, there are internship programs involving postgraduate students in research projects, focused training and skills development programs. And then also we've established SAMADI research centers at the universities of Pretoria, Johannesburg and the Free State. That's in progress, and also at the University of Witwatersrand. We've launched an open call on these universities, and they have twinned with other universities of Venda and Limpopo in order to expand the capacity development. So if we just look at a quick summary of the journey to date, 2016, following the Mining Pakisa, the Mandela Mining Precinct was formulated as a public-private partnership. It was officially launched in 2018 by the ministers of Science and Innovation, Trade and Industry, and Minerals and Energy. And then the next, there's a number of milestones in between. The next big one was in October 21, where there was an MOU signed with all the unions in the mining sector to be part of the, to be consulted in the RDI programs. There was an Isidingo drill challenge launched that was to develop the next generation rock drill. So that was an open innovation challenge. If you Google Isidingo drill challenge, it's quite fascinating. The new rock drill is almost half the weight of the previous rock drill. It's more than half the decibel levels, and also substantive reduction in vibration. It's powered through water instead of air. So it is a slightly different setup, but it is a major next step in technology. In March 2022, the next the MOU was signed with the Royal Bafokeng Platinum Mine for the test mine to be established there. There was a collaborators forum established. And this collaborators forum is important if you view the context of the hub and spoke model, the fact that there's a big reliance on the collaborators as semi-permanent partners in this research. And then also there was an open challenge for a rock hazard identification. So an open innovation competition launched to say, how do you detect rock instabilities? And there were some very interesting concepts proposed. And then in July and September this year, there was an MOU signed with the Mine Health and Safety Council and also MINTEC. And also an appointment was made of the new executive director of the Mandela Mining Precinct. There's only a few more slides. We're getting to the highlights. Just a summary of the stakeholders of the Mandela Mining Precinct. You'll see the Minerals Council as the co-funder, the main partner. MEMSA, Letlogonolo will make a few comments on two slides. The South African Mineral Processing Equipment your council, the CSR is the main implementer, WITS, University of Joburg, UP, others, the SIM mine, these are co-located at the Mandela Mining Precinct, Prakisa, and then the other departments. Those are the MOU signatories. And then just in terms of the collaborators, just kind of a summary on why we collaborate. I think that is self-evident. And then if we talk to the highlight, it was established at the Mandela Mining Precinct at the Carlo Road facility in Johannesburg. That was the original site for the Comro facilities. So currently it co-hosts a lot of other stakeholders, the Mine Ventilation Society, the Geological Society, Coltec, etc. The governance structures are established and in place. The RDI networks and collaborative partnerships are in place. The research centers are in place. We've spoken about the capacity and capabilities study project that's in place, been done. The test mine is being established. And then we spoke briefly about the RDI progress. We didn't cover in depth about that. Then there was also a strategy to review of the Mandela Mining Precinct. On this Friday, there's a session on the critical minerals session. That's more an information session facilitated at the request of the Minerals Council. And Johan, I think we can extend the invitation to the members of the portfolio committee. And then there's a strategy and business planning session on the 18th. And an important event is on 9 November. It's the 5-year anniversary for the Mandela Mining Precinct. It's amazing how the time flies. So that's just some of the highlights. Some of the human capital development initiatives is the internship program run by the Mandela Mining Precinct, the research studies, which involves postgraduate students. There's focused training and skills development, and then the RDI capacity and capability assessment project. So what we've done with the research centers at the University of Pretoria, Johannesburg, the Free State is still being established. Unfortunately, it's lagging. They were requested to do basic research and also so to have them postgraduate students, but they have thematic areas linked to those four themes. If you remember the longevity of the current minings, the advanced ore body knowledge, the real-time information management systems. So they have been linked, each one is linked to a different thematic area. There are internship interns are provided on the job training apologies. All the interns to date have found external employment, and then there are research studies that have been concluded at the universities. I earlier mentioned the Isidingo Rock Drill Challenge. This is an example of the two finalists and their different rock drills. The drills are much lighter. It's powered by water, and they actually mount it on a rig, which enables very accurate drilling. It's very fast, and obviously very much quieter. So you can download that, you can find that on the web. Another interesting recent highlight is guidelines for technology centered around people, a workshop there, and then a forum and a discussion at the Mining Indaba on fourth industrial revolution needs or adoption around mining. There was also at the initiative of the Minerals Council and participation of the Mandela Mining Precinct and Deloitte, a report undertaken about adoption of the 4R technologies in the mining industry. And maybe Zita can just correct me or add more information there. The Mandela Mining Precinct also prepared a resource atlas for gold and platinum, a 3D resource atlas based on information from the mines. And that was handed to the Council for Geoscience to integrate with their existing 3D models. And then there was, as I mentioned earlier, also the Rock Hazard Innovation Challenge, and that was aimed at selecting solutions for identifying cracks or deficiencies in the rock in the rock rocks. I'm going to move on, and I'd like to ask my colleague Letlhogonolo Moloi to maybe talk around the mining equipment. Can you come in, Letlhogonolo? I'll just keep on projecting.
Thank you very much, Ewan, and morning, colleagues. As indicated, I'm Letlhogonolo Moloi, and just to give a bit of an overview in terms of MEMSA, we're an industry cluster, which was formed in 2016 with the support of the DTIC. And our primary objectives is to retain our current membership, and also with a minimum of a 50% membership growth, which we've seen in the last 2 years that we've been in office. So we grew from a founding membership of 13 members. We're currently sitting, as indicated earlier on the slides, a bit slightly outdated. We're currently sitting at 57 members, and we have two fundraising annual events which includes the conference that we have for recognition of innovation in manufacturing, and also the manufacturing awards, and then we also have a golf day. And one of our other objectives is to build profile of organization in the industry with key partners and potential members. And again, as potential members, we've come to realize that, I mean, South Africa as a country, we've got quite a history of manufacturing, and the majority also of our manufacturers are situated in Gauteng. There's a lot also in the Northwest and Limpopo, but ours as a cluster is to bring all these manufacturers in the mining space together. And we have had represented in a multiple high profile events, including the Mining Indaba, and the Electra Mining Show, et cetera. And one of the key things we also do is to give expert guidance on government incentives. We've had a couple of workshops for our members and also non-member companies just to show the power of being part of a collective from EMEA to the DTIC SPY, the DSI 11D R&D, and also our participation in the recent R&D 11D submissions for updated policy. And then we've also had IDC Finance and then SEZ's involvement, where we're looking at different provinces. We've recently signed an MOU with the Limpopo Economic Development Agency on the development and support for the Lubatsefetakgomo SEZ in Limpopo, in Stillport. And so, yeah, that's just in terms of where we are in terms of expert guidance and also supporting our members on issues of localization with the engagement of SABS and also participation in the different body clusters within the CSR. And what we've also been doing is that developed a supplier database. We've been collaborating with the Mandela Mining Precinct to develop a technology available readiness atlas, which is TARA in short. And this website is up and running. And then others also to speak to the facilitation of technology. I've touched a bit on that. We have taken our members recently to visit the CSR, and there has been opportunities that were identified there. And also our participation in the SAMEDI programs. I'm sitting as a member of the Test Mine Steering Committee, and our participation in also the Minerals Council's Collision Prevention Committee by some of our members, including MEMSA. And as at last, our key objectives really is for advocacy in the Steel Master Plan, local demand and export work stream, where we are presented. We're also presented in the MESITA Metals Chamber within the CSR, as I mentioned earlier on, the Manufacturing Cluster Advisory Panel, and also submissions on government policies and regulations. The recent one we did yesterday on the submission on the financial procurement that affects two of our key members, which is Bell Equipment and Desmond Equipment, which are local manufacturers. And then in terms of knowledge resource, there's a research project with MESITA that we did last year for our related skills. And the outcomes of that, they are now being worked on through with industry to see how best we can implement that and alignment of skills that are needed into the new technologies that are being put into the mining industry. And then with relation to the market access, we then have industry awards, as I mentioned earlier on, where our members showcase, and also we invite local manufacturers to represent both on these exhibitions that are available both nationally and internationally. But again, you know, I've attended the likes of OnePex in Ghana, the support through also of the GGDA. We are showcasing some of our members at the recent Electra Mining Show. As I mentioned, from the networking perspective, we've got our annual golf day and some of the networking events that we're participating on, including a first-time event that we actually are doing for the first time next month in Northwest to showcase the manufacturing capacity within their province. Thank you very much, Ewan, and thanks, colleagues, for the time. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks very much, honorable members, and thanks to Ewan and Leonardo. I think just to explain a little bit in terms of the profile of the students that we're supporting, one of the things that we've mentioned was the institutions that are involved in research and development. And in terms of just ensuring that we build capacity to ensure the existence of the industry going forward, this is also including training of students, skillings, and qualifications. So in terms of the twinning of the universities, we have, for example, University of Pretoria partnering with University of Limpopo. And there, when we look at the demographic fix of the students, we got a 50-50 split in terms of black versus white. And then we also, at the Vets University and University of Venda, it's 100% black students. But overall, in an industry that is predominantly men, we are pleased that in terms of the female split, overall, in terms of our students, we got 60%, which I think is quite a progress that is being made. We are going to be looking at the disaggregation in terms of what the ratio is like in terms of the disabled. We're not able to get this information at the time of preparing for this meeting, so we'll probably report on that at other time. So I think that's just to wrap up the presentation. I don't know, we've got Dr. Masrimule, if you want to add something from the CSR side of things, and then we can hand over to the chairperson.
No, thank you, Dr. Murphy. No, I don't have much to add. Thanks a lot for the presentation.
Thanks, chairperson. Thanks. We hand over to yourselves. That was the presentation in brief of what we wanted to share with you on the Samirdi strategy.
Thank you very much, Dr. Murphy, and to all colleagues from the department and the entities that are with you today. At this point, I think Shanaz had indicated that the minister had joined. Let me just check on my side. Minister Nzimande, we see you are on the platform. I'm not sure if you'd like to say something before we hand over to members. Okay. All right. Well, we see the minister is logged on, but perhaps he will come in later after members have made their inputs. Members, this is then the presentation from colleagues. I'd like to, at this point, note hands from members who'd like to engage, make comments, questions. All right. I see Honorable Pele, Honorable Phillips, Honorable Sibiya, and I'll note more hands as we go into the engagement. Honorable Pele.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and greetings to all honorable members and everyone on the platform. Chair, I want to first note the presentation and appreciate the inputs that we've received. I also want to indicate that I am asking some of the questions on behalf of Honorable Mananiso that has sent through to me. Chair, the first one is around the demographics. I think it's the slide 13, particularly in respect of disability. And I think it's important for us to be able to know if that has been met in terms of accommodating and being able to allow for participation. On slide 14, there's the process version 2 database. Which in terms of the timeline was talking about June 2023. The question there is, did you achieve this? Then on the project scope journey, when you started to date, have you completed this or achieved it? And are there any challenges? If so, what are the challenges? The next one, Chair, is how does the department source participants? Do you go directly to universities, or how do you source them or recruit them? Then there's a mention of the involvement of the district development model. And the question there is around which district or in which province has this already been part of it? You then signed a contract with 4 universities. How was those universities identified? And then the signing of MOUs. With specific stakeholders. Is this a standard MOU or is it different according to the services that may be offered? And it may differ from stakeholder to stakeholder. And the last one is on the issues of SEM. Do you have your own SEM management or do you rely on the localities? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Pele. Honorable Phillips.
Good morning, Chair, and I'd also like to thank everyone for for their presentations. My one question on the district development model has been asked by the previous colleague. I have 2 questions that actually were not covered in the presentation, but perhaps somebody could give me an answer to them. The first question is, are there any research projects presently looking at damage to surrounding buildings, houses, etc., during open cast mining, and how this can be mitigated? And then the second one is also, is there any research being done to determine the most efficient and cost-effective way of rehabilitating, especially the open-cast mines? Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Phillips. Honorable Sibiya.
Okay, thanks, Chairperson. Greetings to everyone. There is a noise outside. Thanks for the presentation. Chairperson, on slide two, it talks about problems, but I would like to know if we can get a clarity or a reason for having a slow transformation as well as the declining constant commodities prices. If I can get more clarities on that, why are we having a slow transformation? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sibiya. Honorable Chirwa.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and greetings to all the colleagues. And thank you so much for the presentation as well. I have two questions. My other questions have already been addressed. I want to know, you know, on this thing of addressing technological innovation, right, like tracking back from 2018 to 2023, can we have like a concise, clarification of what the interventions or the innovation projects have been? Because I think it, in the presentation, it's not really clear, Chairperson, on what the technological advancement has been in terms of the Mandela Mining Precinct. Like, concise, like, for example, in 2018, this was the technological advancement innovation or program or project and its result thereof, right? And also to match these projects to outcomes of what the aims of the precinct have been from the beginning, because I'm also noting that there's a lot of digression from what the aims, from what you are telling, from what we're hearing, what the aims are from inception to what the projects are, and you know the work that the MMP is doing in relation to the aims, the relationship is lost every now and then. So if you can just align those things, and maybe it really is because of my perspective from where I am. So if you can just clarify on that. And secondly, I want to find out, in noting the issues regarding competitiveness in the mining sector, can you please just clarify for us at what level this issue of competitiveness is sufficing in the mining, so that we're able to engage on that much more cogently? Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chirwa. So those are the comments and questions from members, Dr. Mwofe. On my side, I just want to add that, perhaps I'd like to understand what our research capacity looks like. So, when you look at the research program, it does seem like quite a solid research program. Do we have spaces where we are outsourcing research that should be done because we perhaps as the CSIR don't have sufficient capacity to do the research ourselves? Have we made an analysis of how much, in terms of resource, actual financial resource, how much we would need in order for us to increase our capacity to do the research ourselves instead of possibly outsourcing it, if we are outsourcing some of the research to third parties. And then I'd like to also find out, in terms of the innovations that we're seeing, and it's really great to see quite the broad private-public partnerships that we're seeing. I think for me, I'm always excited when I see increased collaboration amongst various stakeholders, and you know, just really trying our best to break the silos and getting as many people involved as possible, and enriching our capacity through collaboration. So I'd like to find out, in terms of the innovation, you know, once the research has been done and now we're trying to manufacture some of these innovations, what do our partnerships look like with TVET colleges in particular? And then, yeah, I think I've been greatly covered by Honorable Pillay / Mananiso's question on you know, clarity on selection. And that goes back to our concerns around inclusivity. And I think Dr. Mwafa, towards the end, when he shared about the relationships, for example, between, I think, the University of Pretoria and the University of Limpopo, you were trying to sort of answer a question you probably anticipated members would ask. But I think some of the other clarity-seeking questions that came from Honorable Pillay would be very important. Concerns around the slow pace of transformation. And that is just an overarching concern for citizens in general, you know, and how the mining sector does seem like, not does seem, the mining sector is monopolized, or, you know, by a particular cohort of individuals. And so, through our research, through our innovations, we should be able to contribute to an increased pace of transformation within the sector. And I think the question on damages to homes by Honorable Phillips, also very important. So I think I'll leave it at that for now. If there's any other outstanding questions that members or myself will have, we'll take another round, because we are quite early in terms of the time set for the conclusion of the meeting. But let me, for now, hand over back to yourself, Dr. Mwafa, and your colleagues.
Thanks very much, Chairperson and honorable members. I'm going to just respond to some of the questions, and then the others, the colleagues will deal with, especially those that are quite close to the actual activities. I think the issues around the choice, or how the universities that are running this project are chosen, we actually had an open call where there were responses. However, in handling those open calls, we also had some conditions that we had imposed that would actually enable us to deal with issues of inclusivity. To say, if you have the likes of UP, VETS, University of Free State being their successful respondents, how would they make sure that they work with the universities where the capacities may actually be lower to help them build capacity, but also to begin to make sure that in future, when such calls are made, we are going to have a much bigger pool of respondents. This is why you see the twinning between, say, University of Venda and University of the Witwatersrand, University of Limpopo and University of Pretoria, and now under discussion the potential twinning of University of Free State and University of Limpopo, and perhaps any other one that can actually come in. This kind of twinning helps us also in terms of making sure that the students that are being trained in these historical disadvantaged institutions can be exposed to a real work environment as they would have been if they were in this advantaged institution. So that's basically how the selection is. It's an open call, but the open call where, depending on who actually ultimately gets the nod, we twin them with institutions where we want capacity built. The issue on the demographics, I have also broken those down. In terms of all our student cohort, I've indicated that 60% of them are women, which we see as quite a huge achievement, given that this is traditionally an area where it has been male-dominated. So we see this as a good sign, and where it is possible, we'll even grow it beyond 60%. And in terms of the split between race, If one has to mathematically just look at the 50-50 split between University of Pretoria and University of Limpopo and 100% with University of Venda and VETS, you can begin to see that, also as an outcome of the twinning, but the commitment that these institutions are having as well in terms of dealing with issues of transformation, we are beginning to see that we are having a healthy split. It's not perhaps in the 50-50, you know, where it's supposed to be, but we're really working to grow that. I think the other questions, I'm going to hand over to Bjorn and the other colleagues who are also members of the Mining Council will also come in. In terms of the capacity for research, I think all the colleagues can come in, including our partners, who the CSIR can actually deal with that. So I'm just going to start by handing over to you, Pyuen, and you can deal with some of the questions.
Thank you, Dr. Mofi. I must say I missed the Honorable Pillay, I missed the reference to the slide 14 and the process scope. If you can just maybe repeat that.
The slide 14 one, let me just assist you there. The slide 14 one related to a question about a deadline or something that was going to have happened in June, which was the database issue. That has been done. It's the database is up and running. Mr. Lishonoro has indicated that this is now up and running from the MEMSA side. So that question is addressed. The issue on slide 13 would have referred to the issues around the breakdown of demographics, which I think I have addressed. And if I've missed that, Honorable Play will also just come in. But that was the issue of the breaking down in terms of the demographics, which I've just done. Yeah.
Thank you, Dr. Murphy. I would like to maybe just ask Mr. Zitsa van der Woude to come in. I have made an error in referring to the 4-hour work that was done by the Minerals Council, so maybe if he can correct that, and if he can also maybe talk about the competitiveness of the mining industry, of the mining sector, and also around the transformation. I think those are broad questions, and he can maybe give us a sense at what level we can understand that. And then maybe if Yuan can ask around, can respond around the MOUs and the supply chain and the DDM, the district development level, and also the open pit question. Thank you.
Madam Chairperson, honorable members, colleagues, good morning. It's Sita van der Woude here from the Minerals Council. I just want to first of all comment on the 4IR report. Our board has agreed that every 2 years we will participate in a report to assess where we are with the fourth industrial revolution in the South African mining industry. So we've been partnering with PwC, is the one partner, and then the other partner is the Mandela Mining Precinct, who brings their, both those organizations brings their skill to the report that is done. So we have the one, the one that was completed for 2022 has been completed, and we will now gradually start to prepare for the 2024 one. In terms of the question about the competitiveness, so for us, it is very important to be globally competitive as the mining industry. That does not include only on environmental issues, on economic issues. It also includes on environmental issues, on social issues, on governance issues as well. So there's in a number of our commodities, there are challenges around being globally competitive, and these are some of the reasons why the Mandela Mining Precinct is helping us finding solutions to make sure that we can enhance our competitiveness in the global sense. In terms of the question of the research capability and capacity, as has been mentioned in the presentation, we've advocated for a comprehensive study to be done of the capability and capacity that we have in research and development. Unfortunately, it was over the years, it has been eroding quite considerably, to such an extent that there were only about 20 researchers left. And what then between the Minerals Council, DSI and CSIR, we agreed that we start with CSIR as a key player in this ecosystem, and try and understand what is the capability and capacity that they have to help mining solve the problems that we have today, whether it's on productivity, on the health and safety, or any of those metrics. So that study has been completed. We are very encouraged that the CSIR has already started to respond to that by appointing people that have the necessary skills, software engineering, mechatronics, that we mentioned, and my colleague Bongi Nsulengu, cluster head at CSIR, is also on the call, and maybe with your permission can also add to this. So it is a very steep learning curve we're on. It is a very steep and intentional building of capacity and capability that we're busy with. But yeah, it has got its own challenges. Thank you, Bjorn, and thank you, Honorable Members.
Thank you. Bjorn, for the other questions?
Thank you, Dr. Mofe. If it's possible, could we potentially ask Sibongile Ntshulenge to maybe also respond on the capacity at the CSIR in terms of mining engineering?
Yes, and any other questions that she may be able to respond to that have been raised?
I think I can respond also to the technology advancement. I can refer Honorable Chirwa to the TARA website, TARA. That is an index of the technology readiness of the outputs from the Mandela Mining Precinct. That's one of the outputs, but it's very difficult to give a direct output of all the variables, because it's this capability building. So not you build capability, and not everything has got a direct impact on the goal. Sometimes you lay the foundation and then the bricks, but the foundation isn't always directly attributable to the or visible to the house. So we can take her through some of the reports, but it's very difficult to show the causality of all the work done to the final output. I think that's where the technical steering committee chair people are key, because they ensure the causality and the value of the research programs. Thank you.
Bjorn, Johan here. If you would like me to respond to some of those questions, or would you like Bongi first to talk to the capability and capacity?
You're on the floor, Johan. Just continue.
Thank you. Good morning, Chair and honorable members and colleagues. Johan here. Let me just respond to a few of the questions as well. I think just on that last one that Bjorn referred to, we actually have slides and information from each program, those programs, research programs that Bjorn referred to, that we prepared on the work done in each program over the past 5 years. And we actually discussed that last week in a full day session with the TSC, the Technical Steering Committee members. And we also looked at the way forward. So we shared the historical roadmap and what has been done to date and where do we plan to go. So we can make that information available to the committee members. And I think that will deal with the question on the work done to date, et cetera, as indicated by Ms. Cherwa. Then there was the question on how we source the participants or the collaborators, the research collaborators. Now, as mentioned by Bjorn, we follow a hub and spoke model, meaning the precinct is the hub, the catalyst, facilitator, coordinator, while the research gets done by our collaborators. So the CSIR is one of those collaborators that will do the required research as indicated by the industry members, the technical steering committee members. So we run a process of getting a request out to our collaborators. They respond with proposals. Our technical steering committee and our program managers evaluate those proposals and decide which ones to support. We also expect them as collaborators to contribute. In some cases, it's funding. In some cases, it's in-kind. It's infrastructure, testing facilities, et cetera, et cetera. So it is a collaborative approach that gets followed. And so that is just to indicate the process that we follow for the different collaborators to actually do the research work and development work. We followed an expression of interest process where we've sent out, where we ask interested parties to respond to that expression of interest to become part of the collaborative or the collaboration network. We then, as part of that expression of interest process, there's an evaluation score sheet, the evaluation process to see if they meet the required requirements. And if successful, they then join the pool of collaborators. So so that is to respond to the questions on the process that we go about to identify or to get the collaborators. And secondly, what is the process of getting the collaborators to actually do the work? As I said, the precinct itself is fulfilling the facilitating, coordinating management role, while the research experts in the research spokes or the research collaborators actually do the work that we monitor, report on, et cetera, et cetera. There was a question on the provinces. Now, the focus of the precinct is on the mining industry, specifically so the mineral extraction research, and even more so specifically at this stage on deep hard rock mining with a strong focus on gold and platinum, because that is where, as part of the PAKISA process, the main need was identified, the main challenges. So currently, as mandated, that is the main focus. And the focus is therefore on the mineral extraction industry and not necessarily on specific provinces. Obviously, the mines and the mine houses, they obviously are operational in different provinces. The other question was just on the MOUs. So the MOUs are, as the word indicates, a memorandum of understanding that we sign with players such as the Mine Health and Safety Council, etc., etc. So that is a standard MOU. That MOU indicates basically that the areas in which we will collaborate. However, if that interaction results in a specific project, a specific initiative, then a service level agreement will follow, which is a, let's call it a contract. But the MOU ensures that we meet on a regular basis. It makes sure that we discuss the areas that identified for potential collaboration. And as I say, if that results then in a specific project, a service level agreement or a MOA, a memorandum of agreement, gets signed with the details associated. I think, Bjorn, I think those covers a couple of the questions. So maybe I can hand over to Bongi to respond also on the capacity and capability issue. Thank you.
Thank you, Johan. Can I kindly suggest that as each one of us open our mics, unless you are completely load shed like I was earlier on, please do also just show your face for the first 5 seconds and then close your cameras afterwards. Thank you.
Good morning, Madam Chair. I hope you're able to see my face. My name is Sibongile Ntswelengwe, and I'm the Executive Cluster Manager at the CSIR, looking after mining. So to answer the question that the Honorable Chira asked around what are the technological solutions and advancement that we've done, just to mention one, there has been a development of a what we call a digital twin for trackless mobile machinery specifically. And this was a development that was done over a period of less than 2 years. And it was a partnership between the Minerals Council, CSIR, industry members, in response to the Chapter 8 regulation of the Mine Health Safety Act of 1996, which was recently promulgated. And what this tool is a near real-time digital risk tool that predicts the performance of traffic management system in support of mining industry collision prevention. Just for the honorable members' information, a trackless mobile incidents has been one of the largest contributors to fatalities in the mines. I think that the second largest. And what the objective of this tool is to be able to provide a real time or near real time a performance of traffic management systems in support of a collision prevention and ensure that especially those mines that you know don't have the pockets deep pockets to adopt the what we call level 9 a collision prevention system are in a position to still apply this to improve their safety, but also looking at improving productivity, thus making our mining industry more productive. That's just one of the solutions. So to answer the question asked by Honorable Mkachwa around the mining capability, there was a capability assessment that we undertook in the past 2 years. And this was aimed at establishing a capability specifically to support modernization. Just at the back of that, The CSIR, including, I guess, the country, we have experienced a capability, a regressive period of the past, over the past two decades. I think you would have heard Buen mentioning that at some stage, the Comoro had over 200 people, engineers, scientists looking after mining specific RDI. This number grew, regressed to about 25. And this staff size, sharp decline in size and staff complement also had a loss in skilled resources, specifically people with mining operational knowledge to develop industry solutions. So what we've then done over the past 2 years is re-established the mining cluster, formulation of the mining cluster, but also having a focus in terms of developing a innovation strategy with the industry and not for the industry, to ensure that the gaps in the mining industry RDI are being addressed. The cluster has grown from less than 25 science set staff, which is science, engineering, and technology staff, to over 40 currently. And the focus is on getting or appointing chief engineers. We currently have a chief engineer with over 30 years of experience and mining operational knowledge, including having an in-depth understanding of a specific technical base, such as rock engineering. And there is currently a process for us to have skills transfer from what you would typically say is white males that have been in the industry with the in-depth knowledge to previously disadvantaged technical staff that will grow moving forward. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. I think, is anybody able to respond to the question by the chairperson on TVET partnerships? So if not, I think we will then have to find a way of providing some information and feedback, either through written or whatever responses. But for now, I think it looks like none of the colleagues around the table is able to provide anything there. So I submit that to chairperson, with your permission, we can then have a follow-up at some stage on this particular question. That could include any other question, perhaps. I'm trying to just check through which other question might have been left out.
Dr. Bonini, if I may just answer the question around the rehabilitation of mine. So we have identified circular economy as part of how then do we have a refocus on technologies that will support a circular mine, circularity in mining, but also rehabilitation in mining. So there's two projects that we're currently busy with. One is addressing the issue with slime stems. We have presented this to the DMRE around that. And secondly is the application of our geophysics tools, in support of the mine sites that have old left waste dumps. And looking at how then can we, through the use of these high resolution geotechnical solutions, be able to then provide an insight in terms of the recovery and the mineral resources that are there. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, Thank you, Wongi. I'm going to hand over to the chairperson. I was just trying to go through the questions to see. I can't pick up any that.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Okay. Thank you very much, Dr. Mwafe, and to all the colleagues. I'd like to check for members if there's any other follow-up questions from yourselves. Okay, I don't see any questions from members. From myself, I just wanted to indicate, and colleagues will indicate to me when my network when my network is no longer stable. The issue of the TVET partnerships, we must reiterate, is very important, colleagues. I mean, they are, you speak about modernizing the mining industry. And, you know, in TVET colleges, we have our students studying, for example, mechatronics. And I think that that type of skill could really assist in the sort of modernization that we want to see in the products or innovations or technologies that are used within the mining industry for the mining industry to be modernized. I think of how, for example, Dr. Mwafe, we speak about how the hydrogen economy could assist us with some of these forklifts that we have. And we've made a great emphasis on how TVET students should be found included in such innovations. And so when we're speaking about increasing the stakeholder grid of the work that we're trying to do within this Mandela Mining Precinct, then we really cannot leave our TVET colleges behind, because we have an intent of ensuring their inclusion in various other sectors and developments within science and innovation that could have a and therefore the TVET colleges, that so we are involving them in other spaces that also do find expression within the mining sector themselves. So I think it would be very important for us to ensure that our TVET colleges are not left behind in the research, development, and innovation projects that we're doing. And Samardi, I don't know, is that how we pronounce it? Samardi. Is not is Samardi is a day of the week in French, if I'm not mistaken, but I know this in this case, it's an abbreviation. Sorry. And then I just wanted to add that in terms of the one of the aims of Samardi, which is to also look into the lifespan. I don't know if it's on, actually, it's one of the objectives, I think, of the Mandela Mining Precinct, to look into, or and Samardi, to look into the lifespan of mines, or the life of mines. And I'm not familiar with the sector at all, the mining sector at all, but we've seen how certain mines were, there was no longer active mining in those particular locations, and now we've seen illegal mining, or don't know what term you'd want to use, but others are using zamazamas. And there's just a very unregulated, there's very unregulated mining activity taking place there. And I think out of all of this, there's been a lot of discussion around actual regulated, structured, organized, artisanal mining that could be taking place there to assist our local economies. And I would think and hope that in the research that you're doing, how have we thought about the life of mines? And once the big companies have moved out, mining companies have moved out of those spaces, clearly there is something that's left there to be mined for illegal mining to continue to take place. And so, you know, what's our research saying in terms of ensuring that we don't find such spaces being illegally used or unregulated, but we are able to ensure that there is some sort of artisanal mining that can take place there that can be really beneficial to our, can be really beneficial to our local communities. One thing that's coming up a lot from some of the engagements I've had with young people who are in the mining industry, leading up to this meeting, is, and I think this for me links to one of the aims of SAMRD around the revitalizing of the mining RDI capabilities of South Africa and the repositioning, in order to reposition the country as a top mining research development destination for mining. I think that one's very important. I mean, when you think of just the type of research development and innovation destinations that we are, we are excelling in the space industry in terms of astronomical studies and our capabilities or our potential and our advantages in the Northern Cape. We're doing amazing, and it can but only benefit our science, our national system of innovation, for us to strengthen our capabilities to assist, I guess, the global the global system of innovation in terms of research and development, if we were to also be a top mining RDI destination. And so one would want to then also acknowledge the fact that part of our aims is to ensure that we build capacity, that we develop skills. And there's just a general view that we don't have sufficient capacity in terms of this. And I think that is not something perhaps that I think you've responded to it to some extent in your responses now. But I really just want to emphasize that is a concern from particularly young people who are concluding their PhDs or are doing their PhDs, students and who are researching in this particular space. Their sense is that there isn't sufficient investment towards South Africa's research capacity. And so I think that is something that we really need to acknowledge, particularly if we're speaking about ensuring that South Africa's mining industry becomes a top mining RDI destination. And then perhaps to get a sense of what are our thoughts around the view that we are spending more money in capacitating institutions of higher learning to do research around this, or our research around mining, research development and innovation around mining, than as compared to the type of investments that we're putting into our entities such as the CSIR. So just to get a sense of your thoughts around that. And then I would like to find out what our capabilities have been in terms of the retention of skills, in this particular industry. And I think I have, to a great extent, made an emphasis on the importance of us to ensure that we increase the capacity for smaller and local manufacturers to find opportunities in providing technologies and solutions for the mining sector. And then if colleagues could perhaps also indicate some of the two key challenges that they have experienced in the implementation of the Mandela Mining Precinct, particularly perhaps the more political issues that speak to certain collectives or parties within our community, our society, feeling entitled, and the difficulties around perhaps the transformation that we want to make and the inroads that we want to make in terms of transformation in this sector. There's a question that I want to ask, but I think I prefer to ask it in writing so that I don't dismally embarrass myself on a national platform. I think it just needs It needs someone to send it in writing. But I also want to acknowledge the question from Honorable King, where she asks about the impact of mining on local communities. What are the four instruments used to support localization, competitiveness, and research and development-led industries? And then what work has been undertaken through SAMREDI strategy, and how this impacts mining skills development and modernization. I hope I have made sense and done justice to the question asked by Honorable King. All right, I'd like to then hand over to you, Dr. Moafe, colleagues. In meetings of this nature, members ask through me and make their comments through me, and colleagues respond through the leader of delegations. So I note the hand that is up from one of our colleagues from the DSI, that response will come through the leader of delegation, which is Dr. Moafe. So back to you, Dr. Moafe.
Thanks very much, Chairperson. I'll start by addressing some of the questions, and then the colleagues will add on to that. I think on the issue of skills, Chairperson, one of the reasons why we really needed to have SAMREDI and also to have the whole initiative around Mandela Mining Precinct is that we have lost a lot of skills over the years. I mean, some many years back, when I was still managing a program called THRIP, we used to run a big program which was doing what we call the deep mining research. And then at the same time, we were also running another one, which was called Coltech 2020. And they were both focusing on, the Coltech obviously on the coal side, and the deep mining mainly on how to mine and efficiently do so in deep mines, especially with regards to gold. Now, so there was a lot of decrease in R&D investment in that space and a lot of loss of capacity. And that's really what Sis Wongi was indicating, that we really are trying to rebuild that capability. It's been lost and we're trying to rebuild it. And that's why now as we do it, we're working jointly with the industry. I mean, as what I picked up is that we lost that capacity to the likes of Australia and so on and so forth. So we need to just rebuild that. So skills capacity building is going to be a huge challenge, and we are taking on that. The issue around effectiveness, the question was about the challenges around the Zamazamas and the fact that the mines will probably be closed and there is things that can still be extracted. At the bulk of our projects or programs there, we'll also look at enhancing mining efficiencies, which means that you get as much as you possibly can from the ore, as opposed to probably how we used to do it before the technology was advanced. So hopefully that then means that in addition to adding on the longevity of the mine, it also makes sure that you get as much as you can and leave almost nothing to be followed up through other aspects of mining. Now, how that relates to the issues of Zamazama and perhaps the artisanal mining, I think there are a number of challenges. One is that, by and large, when the mines are closed, is that besides the difficulty in getting what you want to get, there's also the issue of safety. So if whatever the Department of Mineral Resources does in terms of licensing the artisanal mines, it will need to look at those aspects of the safety and so on. So which then means that when a mining is closed after what will be the end of its lifetime, there needs to be proper closures. And as we have heard, there also needs to be proper rehabilitation to also deal with the issues of how the communities in the mining environment are actually taken care of. So I just wanted to highlight that, and colleagues will probably come in. And you would also, in terms of the investment that we make in all the relevant entities that are dealing with minerals research, including those that may not necessarily be in the stable of the DSI, is that ultimately, even in the way in which we are crafting the decadal plan, we're looking at a government whole approach, so that even as we do what we call the budget coordination, we are able, when it comes to R&D budget, to get other government departments chip in to invest in R&D. So that will probably make sure that our investment in R&D in the mining sector is not only coming from the Department of Science and Innovation, but can also come to other departments that are that have got a stake in it, whether it is around rehabilitation and working with the Department of Environmental Affairs, whether it is working with the Department of Mineral Resources. So those are some of the provisions that, as we implement the decadal plan, are being looked at. So I'm going to stop there and then ask the colleagues to deal with other questions. Thanks. Bjorn?
Thank you, Dr. Murphy. Maybe it's good to just talk about mining research and what we do in the Mandela Mining Precinct. So what we do is, a lot of the mines are multinationals, and some of them have their own research, development, and innovation in-house. And that might vary. And often we talk about the big R, capital research or capital development or capital innovation. So the emphasis might slightly differ. Some of them have their own agreements with universities, multi-year funding agreements with universities. So they have a long-term agreement with a university to establish a center on behalf of a mining company. So the Mandela Mining Precinct is then a partnership between the Minerals Council, which is the proxy for the mining companies. And a lot of the work that we do is pre-competitive. So it is at the level where it benefits all, and at the level where the work needs to be adopted and tailored for application by, let's call it, mining company A or B or C. So it needs some further tailoring. So I think then if we look at it that way, that talks to how the work then cascades then down to, say, a specific community. And you'll see that we slightly further away from a specific community or solving a specific problem, because it is more generic in nature. The advantage of this approach is that we can solve problems where there's difficulty or often various perspectives on a problem. For example, the next drill. How do you consolidate the requirements for the next drill? And that was a good problem, because the Mandela Mining Precinct went to all the mines, consolidated the requirements into one user requirement, and then published that. And the end result was a drill that met the requirements of all the mines. So everyone could adopt the drill, and the manufacturers were assured of a market that met all the requirements. So it was not just mine A that could buy it, but essentially it met everyone's requirements. So that's our role in the RDI domain. And as you've said, then, in terms of our role, in terms of the funding of universities vis-a-vis the CSR, I think also, as you've said, it's a balance in terms of the roles. The universities have got different roles. There's a slightly longer turnaround because it works through students. Science councils have the advantage because there's a different capacity, longer term, more guaranteed capacity at the longer term. Facilities are slightly different, more capacity to operate facilities. So it's a balance that we need to maintain. And often the retention of the skills is easier in the science councils, but it's also more, and I'm generalizing now, it's more sensitive to economic pressures, and therefore cross-skilling and capacity reapplication is important. If I think about the challenges in the MMP implementation, it was around getting this common RDI theme, getting consensus among the different universities. As an example, how do we work together around a common RDI theme? Because of this different funding sources, how do we all work together whilst maintaining our own funding sources and specialty areas? So I think that that is still the ongoing challenge, whilst we all have to secure our own financial sustainability as a science council or as a university, but still then maintain the central national capacity. Yeah, I think that's what I wanted to add. Just in terms of the open pit mining, I think we're not really focusing on that. That's beyond the focus of the Mandela Mining Precinct. And as Johannes said, we chose the most difficult problem, the hard, narrow ore bodies. And the rationale about that is if we solve the difficult problems, the technology will spill over and there'll be benefits on the easier problems. So the technology spillovers will then be bigger than us addressing the lower and easier problem solving. Thank you.
Dr. Mwafe, I think Dr. Masiramula's hand was up.
Thanks for me. Dr. Masiramula, I'm sorry, I didn't see the hand. Apologies.
Oh, no, thanks a lot, Chair. And thanks a lot, Dr. Mwafe. Maybe let me show my face for the brief few seconds, Chair. I had wanted to make a point on the issue of TVETs. So within the stable of the DSI, as the CSIR, we do have we participate in the modernization of the preparation of TVETs with the learning factory implementation. And this it's We have worked with MIACITA to develop several of these, and I should say they are mining companies that that have taken on supporting the collaboration with some of the CETAs. So within the DSI stable, this has been taken care of. We have a very expansive involvement in terms of modernization of TVETs and through the learning factory program within the CSR. And actually, Ms. Jolengwe is involved in with some of the engagements with TVET colleges regarding reskilling, particularly in the mining industry. The funding might not be coming directly from this particular program, but within the DSI stable, that is a big part of what we do. I think that's one clarity that I had wanted to articulate for the honourable members. Thank you, Dr. Mwafe, and thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Dr. Masiramula. Back to you, Chair. Thanks.
Thank you very much, colleagues. Thank you very much, Dr. Mwafe. I don't think there's any other questions from members. Are we fine, members? Okay, I think we are. With that being said, thank you very much for coming to the meeting and briefing us on the work that is being done here. I think really, again, from my side, to laud the partnership and the stakeholder mapping that that has been spoken to. I think it's in line with what the decadal plan seeks to achieve. I hope, Honorable Pillay, you've been well clarified on the selection. And I think the main thing for us to emphasize on selection of partnerships and of institutions that we use is inclusivity, which will directly have, which should have an impact on transformation. And then, of course, there was the questions raised around impact on homes. There was the issue around slow transformation, which for us remains a key priority and focus of the portfolio committee, so that we can ensure that all the people of South Africa, you know, from the widths and breadths, from all widths and breadths, from all classes, all races, particularly the majority of this country, are most represented in the various opportunities that are in this country and are beneficiaries of the opportunities that are within this country. We've spoken around inclusion, which goes back to the issue around selection of partners. We've spoken on the importance for us to increase resource towards research capacity and innovation capacity, and ensuring that local communities also find themselves benefiting from these particular opportunities. We want to literally see local technologies and solutions, technology solutions from TVET colleges, from, you know, the neighboring communities where these minds find themselves finding expression in the industry. We've also reflected on the progress that we've made in terms of innovations. That, all right, so what can we account for? What have we done in the past couple of years in terms of the innovations that we want to see within this particular sector in relation to modernizing the sector, and the importance of us also really reflecting? I heard your response, Dr. Mwafe, but I think they can be, and I don't know, maybe it's something that we need to, you know, share with you know, colleagues in the mining, directly in the mining industry, that the life, this longevity of mines, and the lifespan or the life of mines, a true reflection on, I don't know, or research on what really is the lifespan of the mine. But again, as I said, I did a BSc in geography, yes, but I don't think geology was one of my most favorite subjects that I studied in varsity. But yeah, so I do think that they just need to be more that can be shared with us in terms of that. And just an emphasis, of course, on artisanal mining, in it playing a pivotal role in supporting our local economies. And we note the concern around the retention of skills and the challenges that we're having there, and this being a response to, this initiative being a response to that. With that being said, colleague, thank you very much for the presentation that you've shared with us. As always, it is a learning opportunity for us as a committee when we are engaging with yourselves as the DSI. And so, yeah, at this point, I would like to release yourselves. Shanaz, I'd like to believe that we are supposed to be adopting minutes, if I'm not mistaken. Thank you very much, Dr. Mwafe, and to all the colleagues.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thanks to all the team that supported us.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
If members can please stay on the platform. And then I just want to really thank Honorable Phillips and Honorable Kyobeka Makeke for joining our portfolio committee meeting today on behalf of the Portfolio Committee on Minerals. Thank you very much, Honorable members. We just need to adopt some minutes on our side. So if you would like to leave us, you may. Chasing you away at all, but we'll be dealing with some admin on our side. Thank you very much. Shanaz, I'd like to check if we do meet quorum.
Are we fine on the quorum side?
Oh. Okay, I just need to take out the minutes on my side.
Education. I'm just trying. I see Anneli is off now.
Yeah, there is a thread, email thread that had a number of the minutes. I'm just trying to find it. Apologies, members. Okay. All right, so the minutes I have in front of me are the minutes of the 30th of August, 2023, 14th of June, 2023, 17th of May, 2023, and the 19th of May, 2023. These minutes were sent to us on the 5th of September. Yeah, I hope that members have gone through all of them. So we'll start with the ones in the earlier months, which would be May. So on the 17th of May, we interacted with the National Skills Fund, as well as the Energy and Water Sector Education and Training Authority, EWCETA. The last page of the minutes speaks to the department, well, a resolution that the department needs to contemplate innovating, contemplate innovative funding models for the development of niche skills in the PSET sector. And then it goes on to 5.4, where other matters relating to a follow-up meeting to be convened with the department to brief the committee on a progress report with the development or regarding the development of the master skills plan. So that would have been on the 17th of May. I think there's just a typo that one needs to look into there. And then on the 19th of May, there are minutes regarding the consideration of the budget vote reports, science and innovation, and higher education and training, and consideration of minutes. So we would have met briefly just to get through or to go through some minutes. And then there was a reminder from myself regarding a meeting that we will have, or that we did eventually have recently, regarding UNISA, UCT and UCT, and then Forte as well. And I think in that meeting, members also raised the state of KwaZulu-Natal. So this was on the 19th of May. In fact, the meeting that we later had was not the one now. It was the one we had in June where the minister was present. So those are the minutes from the 17th, from the 19th of May, apologies. Then if we go to June, we have minutes on the 14th of June, which was that meeting that we had with the minister and the department where we were briefed on the state of UCT, on UNISA, on Forte, and on KZN. And these minutes are 5 pages long. At the top of page 5, it says the department should submit a report on the renovations of the VC of UNISA's official residence. So that's the minutes on the 14th of May, of June. And then on the 30th of August, we met with UCT, Forte, and UNISA. It was a very long meeting. So those minutes are 12 pages long. And they conclude on page 12 with a resolution that UNISA should submit a response in the implementation of the recommendations of the ministerial task team on the independent review of the university. So those are then the 4 sets of minutes 17th May, 19th May, 14th June, and the 30th of August. I'd like to note if there are members who would like to make any amendments to those sets of minutes, any amendments. I see Honorable Pillay's hand is up. Honorable Pillay, do you have amendments to make?
Yes, thank you, Honorable Chair. Chair, just so to record that it's KB Pillay in all of the attendance. And then I saw on the 30th of August, it doesn't reflect me being present, and I was present at the meeting. Thank you. You are muted, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Pillay. Thank you for that as well. Shanaz and Memo Diba, can you please acknowledge those amendments that need to be made on behalf of Honorable Pillay? Can I note any other amendments? Honorable Litsie?
Morning, Chair. No amendments. I'm moving for the adoption of all the minutes. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Litsie. Honorable Litsie has moved for the adoption of the minutes as presented to the meeting. Can I please note a hand that seeks to second the adoption of the minutes? Honorable Yabo.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I second the adoption of the minutes as moved by Honorable Litsie. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. The minutes from the 17th May, 19th May, 14th June, and 30th August have been adopted by Honorable Litsie and supported, and that adoption is supported or seconded by Honorable Yabo. Thank you very much, colleagues. We will deal with the next set of minutes in our next meeting. Thank you very much to all the members who have joined today's meeting. We will keep members updated in relation to the meeting we are supposed to have. The follow-up meeting we're supposed to have with NSFAS. The secretary is just trying to conclude on that. If it is required that we meet outside of normal times and we have to apply for an alternative date, which might not be within the normal committee dates, we will indicate that to members so that they can make the necessary arrangements. And we plead with your cooperation in terms of that. And so with that being said, the meeting has come to an end. Thank you so much and enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you, Chair.
Long
live.
Recording stopped.